This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. It's Zoomer Radio's Theater of the Mind with Frank Proctor. Open your mind as we fill your head with amazing thrills, chills, and laughs. Theater of the Mind, the best love programs from radio's golden age, only on Zoomer Radio. Now, here is your master storyteller, Frank Proctor. It's Zoomer Radio's Theater of the Mind with Frank Proctor. Open your mind as we fill your head with amazing thrills, chills, and laughs. Theater of the Mind, the best love programs from radio's golden age, only on Zoomer Radio. Now, here is your master storyteller, Frank Proctor.
Well, thank you, and welcome to the show. Two lengthy shows tonight on the way, which means from here on in, I'll be listening along with you. So let's get started with Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Hey, Abbott, what time is it?
It's time for the Abbott Costello Show. We're on the air for ABC here in Hollywood.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go with the Abbott and Costello Show.
Yes, it's the Abbott and Costello Show, produced and transcribed in Hollywood for your listening and laughing pleasure. Chuckles with a carload and music by Matty Malnick. So hold on to your chairs, folks, for here they are, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Hey, Abbott! Hey, Abbott!
All right, quiet down.
It's a money cookie!
Quiet down. What are you doing with those boxing gloves?
I'm going to enter the Golden Gloves tournament. I've been training.
You a prize fighter?
Yes, I'm known as Butcher Boy Costello.
Butcher Boy Costello?
Yes, I gave my opponent a left to the heart, a right to the kidneys, a left to the chops, and a right cross to the short ribs.
And then?
He knocked me on my pot roast.
You don't even look like a fighter. Being strong is all in the mind, you know, Costello.
It is?
Sure. You have to think strong. Think of Atlas, and you'll have a shape like him. Think of Hercules, and you'll have a shape like his.
That method won't work with me, Abbott.
Why not?
I keep thinking of Rita Hayworth.
What do you think will happen to you if you got knocked around and got punched, drunk, and goofy?
I could always be a straight man like you.
Sure you can. How do you think you'd look with a cauliflower ear, a mushroom nose, and a squash face?
I'd be the only guy in Hollywood with a built-in home garden.
Costello, you're a moron.
What's that?
You're a moron.
That's enough, Abbott. One more word out of you and I'll fight.
Idiot.
That ain't the word.
Costello, you're in a class with an imbecile.
I know. Want me to help you out with your homework?
I'll get him out of here. the matter with you? You look terrible.
I never saw you looking so bad, Lou. What happened to you?
What happened?
Yeah.
You know what happened.
What?
I don't get a chance to do nothing on the show.
Oh, stop.
Oh, I went to that quiz show. Truth or coincidences? They asked me a question. When I didn't give them the answer, they hit me over the head with a crowbar and ripped my clothes off and hit me in the face with a pie and squirted dirty water all over me.
Well, that's terrible.
Yeah, but the joke was on them.
It was?
Mm-hmm. I knew the answer all the time.
You should quit hanging around quiz shows trying to win something for nothing. You ought to get yourself a job and go to work.
I tried to. I studied to be a bartender. I went to the bartender school for 2 years and I still can't get a job.
Why not?
I can't fix a television set.
I thought so. You're just stupid. Your whole family is stupid.
How can you say that? My Uncle Mike is a very brilliant man. He invented the cotton gin, the telephone, and the steamboat.
What about Whitney, Bell, and Fulton?
Leave the Andrews sisters out of this.
What is your Uncle Mike doing now, Lou?
He's part-time lifeguard at the Del Mar Hotel swimming pool.
Are you kidding? Uncle Mike can't even swim.
That's why he's only working part-time. He had a lot of trouble with Aunt May last week.
He did?
Yeah, he got her a new set of false teeth and he told her not to take them out. He begged her not to take them out. He pleaded with her not to take them out, but she did.
What happened?
Her head collapsed.
Well, your Aunt May is quite a woman, Lou. She raised quite a family.
Oh, yes. 3 years ago at the Patterson Fair, she won first prize for having the most little boys in one family. She had 15 little boys.
Mm-hmm. What was first prize?
A little boy.
A little... Never mind that. Whatever happened to your Aunt May's younger sister?
Oh, she graduated from high school this year. And she's so excited, she's going to Harvard.
Harvard? Harvard is a boys' school.
Yeah, that's why she's so excited.
She's going to Harvard. That's ridiculous. None of your family ever went to college.
Is that so? I'm taking a night course right now at UCLA.
Well, now I'm glad to hear
it. In other words, that's Euclid.
Euclid. Well, that's regarding UCLA. I'm glad to hear it, Lou. How are you making out?
Not so good. Monday night, the teacher asked each pupil to bring something that would show what they want to be when they get out of school.
Well, now, it sounds interesting.
Yeah, one guy wanted to be a policeman, so he brought a button off a policeman's uniform. One girl wanted to be a nurse, so she brought a button off a nurse's uniform. Another guy wanted to be a fireman, so he brought a button off a fireman's uniform.
What did you bring?
Nothing.
Why not?
I wanted to be married. How are you going to get a button off of that?
You want to be married. You don't know the first thing about marriage. You don't even know what it takes to make a marriage.
I do so. It only takes two people to make a marriage.
Well, that's right.
A single girl and an anxious mother. As far as I'm concerned, marriage is a three-ring circus.
What do you mean, a three-ring circus?
Well, first, the engagement ring.
Yes.
Then the wedding ring.
Yes.
And then suffering.
Oh, stop. Are you still going with that striptease dancer at the burlesque show?
Oh, sure. Every night I bring her three roses.
Does she wear them?
She has to. It's her custom.
What about that new girl that moved in the apartment next to you?
Well, I tell you, Abbott, I had a date with her, and she's a bachelor girl.
Well, what makes you think she's a bachelor girl?
She looks more like a bachelor than she does a girl.
What old a girl is she, Lou?
Abbott, asking a girl's age is like buying a used car.
What do you mean?
Well, you know the speedometer has been set back, but you don't know how far.
Where did you take her on the date?
Well, we went to a soda fountain and had one of those fancy dishes. You know, ice cream and bananas.
Split?
No, I paid the whole check.
She doesn't sound like the kind of girl for you, Costello. Tell me, do you still date that cute little blonde from Pomona?
Oh, sure. I had a date to go horseback riding with her last night.
You did?
Yes, we rode along through the moonlight. It was beautiful. Her horse was nuzzling my horse. My horse was nuzzling her horse.
Ah, must have been fun.
It was for the horses. My girl didn't show up. I guess she saw it in me because I bought her mother a girdle, and her mother got mad, too.
Well, what size does her mother wear? Small, medium, or large?
Oh, no, no, no. Women's girdles don't come in those sizes, Abbott.
They don't?
Oh, no, no.
What sizes do they come in?
Large, larger, and here comes the showboat.
Hello, Uncle Bud. Hello, Uncle Louie.
It's Abbott's nephew, folks. I left orders with the doorman not to let you win. Now, how did you get past him?
I held your script under his nose and then stepped over his body.
There must be a way to keep this guy out of here. Now, I've got it. I'll hypnotize him. Come over here, Norman.
Now, wait a minute, Costello. What are you going to do to him?
I'm going to hypnotize him and put him asleep. Look me straight in the eye, Norman.
Okay.
You're going to sleep. Abba dabba, sleep,
Abadabba, sleep. Abadabba, sleep. I think it's working, Uncle Louie.
It is?
Yeah, my abadabba is asleep.
Now you lay off, Norman. He's my sister Olive's boy. And Olive's a very lovely person and a big woman in this town.
I notice that. Your sister Olive is built like the state of Indiana.
Just what do you mean?
She has a large South Bend.
My sister Olive is a leader of society. Before she moved to Hollywood, she was the rage of Kansas City.
Your sister Olive would throw any city into a rage. She came to the right place when she came to Hollywood. She's a typical Hollywood girl.
What do you mean?
A Hollywood girl at 30 has wrinkles. At 35, she has gray hair. And at 40, she becomes a blonde and starts all over again.
Say what you want about my sister Olive, but she's a very well-educated woman. She's a college graduate. And she has a sheepskin.
I notice that. She ought to try using Jergens lotion.
You know, you have no business ridiculing my family. Now, last week, you were picking on my wife. My wife comes from one of the finest families in California. She's a Tracy.
Any relation to Dick Tracy?
Certainly not. Certainly not. Dick Tracy is a character in a comic book.
Your wife is no oil painting.
Hello, boys.
Hey, look, Costello, it's our secretary, Viola Vaughn.
Well, Viola, 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 you certainly look lovely tonight. What is that you're wearing?
Oh, do you like it? This is my nightclub dress.
Nightclub dress?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you get it, Abbott? No cover. No
cover. Oh, you look gorgeous tonight. You and I would make a lovely pair. We'd be just like a couple of lovebirds.
Would we?
Oh, I'll show you. First, I put one wing around you like this. Uh-huh. Then I put my other wing around you like this. Then I beak up close to your beak. Then I coo softly.
Oh, what do I do?
Oh, stand there, Viola. Drop a worm in his mouth.
Shut it out. I'm serious about her. And you're not. Why, Viola, I'd bring you the moon on a silver platter.
Oh, that's wonderful, Abbott. How about you, Costello? Would you bring me the moon on a silver platter?
Would I look like a waiter?
The moon on a silver platter is a poetic expression like they use in song.
Oh, you know I wrote a song about the moon? A very beautiful thing, too.
Oh, what's the name of it?
I call it Carolina Moon, What Are You Doing Over Glendale?
Stop, Costello. You know nothing about writing songs.
Oh, I not only write songs, I sing them. Why, when I was in kindergarten, every morning I would get up in front of the class and sing Rockabye Baby all the way through.
Well, that was marvelous.
Yeah, there was nothing to it. I was 21 years old at the time.
You know any other songs, Costello?
Oh, every night I lay in bed and I sing an Irish lullaby.
Did that put you to sleep, Costello?
Certainly. You don't think I'd stay awake and listen to that howling, do you?
Well, I saw you last night, Costello. I saw you. You had a cat on a leash. Hey, that certainly is a funny-looking cat. Is he yours?
Yes, he's mine. He's a football cat. I call him First Down.
What do you name the cat First Down?
Every night he's got 10 yards to go.
Well, instead of being out walking a cat on a leash, a boy your age ought to be out with a girl.
Well, I like cats better. They're smarter than girls anyway.
What makes you say the cats are smarter than girls?
Well, Abbott, no matter how a girl tries, she can't wash her face with her tongue.
Pay no attention to him, Viola. Why don't you come over and see the preview of our new picture, Viola? Huh? I do some love scenes in the picture, and I want you to see my fade-out kiss.
You mean she'll see your faded-out kisser? Anyway, Viola has got a date with me.
Well, I don't think I'm going to keep it, Costello.
Why not?
Well, last Sunday he took me riding, and he insisted I wear a riding habit.
Naturally.
Monday he took me hiking, and he insisted I wear a hiking suit.
Naturally.
Tuesday, he took me to dinner, and he insisted I wear a dinner gown.
Well, why are you breaking the date tonight?
Tonight, he wants to take me to a birthday party.
Well, that did it. It's been a lot of fun, and it's been a beautiful evening up to now, Mabel.
Mabel? My name is Viola.
Well, whatever your name is, it's certainly been fun.
Get him out of here!
and gentlemen, Abbott and I heard a young singer in New York several weeks ago, and we liked him very much, and we brought him back to Hollywood to join our show, and here he is, and we hope you like him too, Hal Winters.
El Kumba 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 Kumbanchero, a bongo 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 cero, brigadiki va sonando Kumbanchero, bongo cero que se va, bongo cero que se va. El Kumba 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 Kumbanchero, a bongo 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 cero, brigadiki va sonando Kumbanchero, bongo cero que se va, bongo cero que se va. Sueño ritambo, brikati, bom 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 ba. Y sueño ripica, brikati, bom 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 ba. El kumba 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 kumbanchero, a bango 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 cero. Brikati que va sonando kumbanchero, bango cero que se va, bango cero que se va. Kumba 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 kumbanchero, a bango 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 cero. Brigadi que va sonando kumbanchero, bango cero que se va, bango cero que se va. A kumba 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 kumbanchero, a bango 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 cero. Brigadi que va sonando kumbanchero, bango cero que se va, bango cero que se va. Sueño ritambo, brigadi, bum 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 ba. Y sueño ripica, brigadi, bum 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 ba. El kumba 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 kumbanchero, a kumba 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 kumbanchero. Brigadi que va sonando kumbanchero, bango cero que se va, bango cero que se va.
Costello, something's got to be done about the parking conditions around this studio. Tonight, I couldn't see a parking space in front of the studio, in back of the studio, or even across the street from the studio.
Could be worse.
What do you mean?
Abbott, suppose you had a car.
Yeah. Well, never mind that. Did your Uncle Mike drive you down here tonight?
No, my Uncle Mike just took his California driver's test today. You should have seen him. He got in a car with the inspector, backed into a truck, bumped into a streetcar, and then he crashed into a stone wall.
Did he pass?
We won't know till next Wednesday.
Why not?
That's the day the inspector gets out of the hospital.
Did your Uncle Mike go to see his favorite program, What's Doing, Ladies?
Yes, and there was a line in front of that studio two blocks long.
Never mind that. How did he like What's Doing, Ladies?
I don't know. By the time he got in, they were through doing it.
I don't know. You know, your Uncle Mike is an ignoramus. He ought to get himself an education.
Yes, he's got one, Abbott. Why, 10 years ago, Uncle Mike was a garbage collector without an education. Then he went to night school and he graduated. And what a difference that made in him.
What is he now?
A garbage collector with an education.
Well, never mind him, Costello. What is your Sam Shovel detective story for tonight?
It's a fascinating case, Abbott. I call it the case of the curbstone murder, or Gertie, get out of the gutter and let the water go by.
Sounds intriguing. Let's get on with the case.
Yeah, let's do that.
And now the makers of Smudge Pot cigarettes present the further adventures of Sam Shovel, private detective. But first, a word about our product, Smudge Pot cigarettes. Smudge Pots are the only cigarettes that contain no nicotine, no harmful tars, no tobacco. These cigarettes are made only from the finest domestic and Turkish towel. And remember our slogan. Smudge Pots are the only cigarettes that contain alum. Our slogan is, pucker while you puff. Go to your cigar store tonight. They will give you a package of Smudge Pots for nothing. The package has no sharp edges. Take them home and throw them in your dresser. What a cigarette, so free, so easy on the drawers. And now to the adventures of Sam Shovel, private detective.
Yes. Yes, I'm Sam Shovel, private detective. I'm sitting in my little office looking at my new office safe. This time I got a real office safe. When I go home at night, I lock my office in it. I see a piece of string around my finger. Suddenly I remember what it's for. It's to remind me to take the string off my finger. I reach in my pocket for my tobacco. There's a big hole in my pocket. That's the last time I'll buy chewing tobacco. I always choose a hole in my pocket. This detective racket is plenty tough. You've got to work in all kinds of weather. Just listen to that wind howling outside.
I'll give you that if you'll give me this.
I'll give you this if you give me that.
It's a trade wind. It was such a nice night as this that I was called to solve the famous farmyard murder. A fiendish farmer had cut off his hired man's head. He hid it in the alfalfa. What a tough case. It was like finding a noodle in a haystack. I decide to shave. I lather my face. The razor hums through my whiskers.
St. Louis woman with all her diamond rings.
I always use Gillette Blues blades. I decide to dial up a little in case a client should come in. I put on my swallowtail coat. I take it off. Seems silly for a man my age to wear a coat made of swallowtails. I notice the headline in the morning paper. The country is in a strange position. On the next page, it says eggs are going up. Chickens must be in a strange position, too. Suddenly, the phone rings. Hello? Yes, this is Sam Shovel, the detective. Somebody that wants me to handle a case. Yes? No. No, I can't work that cheap. No, no, you know my price. What's that? 5,000? Okay, I'll take the case. Right, 5,000. But remember, all Tootsie Rolls, no jelly beans. I thought of my friend, Lieutenant Abbott of the Homicide Squad. I might get him to help me on this case. Some people think Lieutenant Abbott has a screw loose in his head, but I know different. I tightened that screw in his head only yesterday. One thing I will say for Lieutenant Abbott, he knows his onions. He can walk in any vegetable store and say, "That's an onion." But he's a real cop. Abbott don't know the meaning of the word intimidation. That's only one of a million words he don't know the meaning of.
Hello, Sam Shovel.
It's my pal, Lieutenant Abbott of the Homicide Squad.
Sam, I'd like to leave my new cowhide briefcase in your office.
That's a pretty briefcase, Lieutenant.
Yeah. It's genuine cowhide. Open it.
Moo.
The cow is still hiding in it.
There's a picture of your wife in it, too. She looks kind of different in this picture.
It's her hair. She's wearing a page boy. Don't she look nice?
It's hard to tell. The page boy's feet are hanging down over her face.
Enough of this nonsense, Ham. The cops caught an old friend of yours last night. Shirley, the shoplifter.
Beautiful Shirley, the shoplifter. I once trailed her through a department store. Through the shoe department, through the jewelry department, the furniture department. Then I caught her in men's underwear.
This is serious, Sam. Shirley is in the prison hospital. She's unconscious. She keeps moaning, Perry. Perry! Perry!
You must be in the state of Como.
Sam, if you want to see Shirley alive, we better get over to the hospital at once. Let's go.
We arrived at the hospital. We were walking down the corridor. I was reading the signs on the door. Dr. Kildare, surgery, back in 10 minutes. Dr. Nichols, surgery, back in 15 minutes.
Dr. Condon, perjury, back in 20 years.
Sam, here comes the doctor that's taking care of Shirley the shoplifter.
He looks like a phony to me.
I heard that, young man. I'll have you know that I've operated on over 300 patients and I never lost a single one of them.
You didn't?
No, I know where each one of them is buried.
Doctor, can we go in and see Shirley now?
Yes, but don't stay too long, please. The patient must not have too much excitement.
Why not?
How do I know? All the radio doctors say that. My goodness. Aren't you Sam Shovel, the detective?
That's me.
Man, from the looks of you, you need medical attention. Shovel, if you'll come here tomorrow between 2 and 4 or between 6 and 8, remember, between 2 and 4 or 6 and 8, I'll examine your head.
Why can't I come between 4 and 6?
That's when they're examining my head.
Come on, Sam Shovel. Here's Shirley's room.
Oh, poor Shirley, my poor Shirley.
Sir, who are you? And what are you doing here?
I'm Shirley's father. She's in the next room. She's got appendicitis. None of the doctors will operate on her. I'm afraid she'll die.
Cheer up, friend. I will operate on Shirley.
You? I thought you were a detective.
Before I became a detective, I was known as Young Dr. Shovel.
Are you sure you can do it, Sam?
Am I sure I can do it? Certainly. I'll skin out to the car and get my satchel of surgical instruments.
Thank goodness she's got his satchel. She's right in there, Sam.
Here I go. Has anybody got a hammer?
Here's a hammer.
Thanks. Anybody got a chisel?
Here's a chisel.
Anybody got a blowtorch?
Wait a minute, Sam. Sam, hammer, chisel, blowtorch. What are you doing to Shirley?
What, Shirley? First, I got to open my satchel.
Costello, Sam Shovel, you were really digging him up tonight. Get it? Shovel, digging him up?
It's a joke, son. I dug up a joke.
Yes, and you'd better bury it again. Abbott, let's leave the jokes to our writer.
You mean we got writers?
Oh, he's only kidding, folks. He knows our writing staff. We're headed by Eddie Foreman with Paul Conlon, Pat Costello, Martin Ragaway, and Len Stern.
And I know that our producer is Charles Vander.
That's pretty good for Abbott, folks, when you consider Vander's only been on the show 2 years.
Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Time now for Sergeant Preston and Challenge of the Yukon.
Challenge of the Yukon. It's King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the North Country, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the greedy race for riches. Now back to the days of the gold rush when Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog King battled through storm and snow to preserve law and order as they met the challenge of the Yukon! At the trading post in Selkirk, Pete Carruthers sat in a corner trying on mucklucks while Francois, the proprietor, carried on his usual patter of local gossip.
So now we get bank here in Selkirk, you say? That'd be a good thing, a bank. Many bad men come to North not for prospecting in ground, but in people's pockets.
Oh, Francois, you're always suspecting the worst in people. Most of them are pretty honest, I find.
Oh, you, Pete, you trust everyone. Never have I seen such a man as you. You have good heart, but you are bad businessman.
Maybe it's because I haven't too much to lose. I can't complain, though. My claim is paying off, and I have quite a bit saved.
You give away more than you save. Yeah. How you like them boots?
These fit all right. I'll put the other one on.
Hello, Francois. Oh, hello, Pete.
Hi there, Jake.
Hello, Jake. You want something?
Well, I need some flour and tobacco. I hate to ask you, Francois, but I need a little more credit.
Jake, me, I am generous man, I think.
Yeah.
But three time now I give you credit when long time ago I should stop. This time, I must say no.
Well, Francois, I'll pay you as soon as I get some money.
What's wrong, Jake? You broke?
Oh, I had some tough luck.
Give him what he wants, Francois. Put it on my account.
But, Pete,
gee, thanks, Pete. You're sure a good fella.
That's all right, Jake.
All right. I get it for you.
Hey, I just saw Red Davis and Lucky Darrell in the cafe before I come in here. They said they were going over to your house to see you.
Say, I'm glad you reminded me of that. They said they'd be over today, and I clean forgot about it.
Here you are, Jake.
Well, thanks, Francois.
Don't thank me. If I had to say so, you would not get this flour and tobacco.
Never mind, Francois. Jake will pay me back.
You're darn tootin', I will. Well, so long, Pete.
You should not give your money to Jake. He is no good.
Well, maybe he's just having a little hard luck.
Never have I seen such a man as you. How many men have you grubstaked?
Not too many. But you never can tell. If they hit pay dirt, half of it will be mine.
But some of them you hardly know.
They have to file their claims here, don't they? When I have papers to show I grubstaking, I'm entitled to get half.
Well, maybe I am wrong. Maybe the world she need more men like you. You are a trusting man, but I would not say a wise one.
I'll take these mucklucks, Francois. I guess I'd better wear them. I'm in a hurry. I have to get back to my cabin to meet Red Davis and Lucky Darrell.
Oh, hello, Pete.
Hello, Pete.
Hi there, Red and Lucky. I've been waiting for you. Come on in.
We wanted to talk to you about grubstaking, Mr. Pete.
Oh, well, that's it.
You wouldn't be taking much of a chance this time, Pete. I got a good tip from this friend of mine who just made a big strike. There's plenty of gold up there where he is, and if we can get enough supplies together, we'll have a fortune in no time.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm sorry Jane and my young son aren't here. I'd like to have you meet him. Make yourself at home, boy.
Thanks. Nice cabin you have here.
Jane would like it better if we were a little closer to town.
You said you had a son, too, didn't you?
Yeah. Jimmy's 9 years old. Now, how much do you boys figure you'll need?
Well, you've grubstaked people before, haven't you?
Yeah. Let's see. Well, I can give you exact figures if you want to see them. Keep all my papers here in this tin box. Some blank forms here. Here we are. I can't let you have as much as I gave Slim Jackson. My savings are getting low. But I feel this is a good investment. How about 300?
Well, that ought to be enough.
Yeah, we could make it on that, I think.
All right, boys. I'm going to take a chance on you. Hey, there's $300 in gold. Now, you sign this paper. It's a pencil.
Oh, sure. I fill in the money here, don't I?
That's right. I guess we really ought to have a witness, but I trust you, boys.
Yeah. Now you sign it, Lucky.
Oh, sure. There you are.
Maybe we'll all be rich someday.
Well, come on, Lucky.
Thanks a lot, Pete. We'll be seeing you as soon as we hit pay dirt and come back here to file a claim.
Yeah, I guess your wife and son are coming now, Pete. See a boy and a woman coming up the trail.
Stay and meet them, why don't you?
We'll meet them when we have some good news for them. Come on, Red. Goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye. Good luck.
Well, we did it.
If that claim is as rich as I think it's going to be, he's made a good investment.
He's not a very good businessman.
Why, what do you mean?
He didn't have any witnesses there. Nobody saw us get that money.
No, but he's got our signature.
If that claim is as rich as you think it's going to be, it might be a good idea to get that paper some way. If he couldn't produce a paper, he'd have a hard time proving he grubstaked us.
That tin box wouldn't be hard to open.
Well, let's not count our chickens. There'll be plenty of time to decide what to do after we get paid dirt, if we do.
Keep quiet. Here's his wife and kid. What's he carrying?
Oh, it looks like a pup.
Howdy, ma'am.
Hello there. You just came out of our cabin, didn't you?
Yeah, we've been to see your father.
I'm going
to
surprise him. Look what I have.
Well,
He's a fine pup.
Now, don't you bother these men, Jimmy. They're probably in a hurry.
Well, I can't wait till Dad sees Mabel.
You like him, all right. Come on, Larkin.
I don't see why you want to call that dog Mabel.
Well, I like that name, and Mabel likes it, too. He knows it already.
All right, Jimmy. Then Mabel it is.
Here's our house, Mabel. Now, go on in and meet Dad. Now, Dad, what do you think it is? A cow?
Strange-looking animal.
Oh, I never saw such big feet.
It is an odd-looking pup. Zeke Smith gave it to Jimmy.
I guess maybe there's every kind of a dog you could think of mixed up in him. But I think he's beautiful. Mabel and I are going to be the best friends in the world.
Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police drove his dog team along the trail bordering the river near Selkirk. He heard a child's voice calling frantically.
Come on, Mabel. Stop. Stop quick.
Oh. Oh. Looking. Hello, Husky. What's wrong down there? Jimmy, come out of that water.
No, I gotta get my dog. My dog's out there.
Jimmy, come back here. Now, get up there on shore.
But, Sergeant Preston, my dog's out there on that piece of ice. It broke away. I just gotta get him.
I'll get him for you some way. Now, get out of this water.
Oh, look, he slipped. He's in the water and he's going under. He'll get drowned, he's so little.
All right, King. I guess you can get him, boy. Go get him, King. Stay up here on shore, Jim. King will get him. Your dog won't drown.
Mabel's just a pup. I hope King can bring him in.
Current's too strong for a pup. The King can handle it. There, see? King got him. Come on, King, old boy.
We'll have to run along the shore.
Yes. Current's sweeping them down.
Poor Mabel. He's drowned, I'll bet.
There. King's bringing him to shore. Good work, old boy. Well, there's your dog, Jim. Still very much alive.
Here, I'll put you inside my party.
Come on back to my sled, Jim. We'll get you and these dogs back to your cabin and dry you off.
You think you'll get a bad cold, Sergeant?
No, we'll dry him off and warm him up, and I'm sure he'll be as good as new.
While Jimmy changed his clothes, Sergeant Preston talked to Mrs. Carruthers. Mabel and King dried off before the fire.
Just what kind of dog is Mabel?
A mixture of about everything, I guess, Sergeant. All I know is that he's more trouble than any dog I ever saw. He chews everything up and takes things out and buries them in the snow.
Well, most pups do that.
Not quite as much as this one, though. He is furious. He had to go down and buy some more mucklucks today. Mabel stole the new one. Or rather, one of them. Buried it somewhere, I guess. We can't find it anywhere.
Well, can't you train Mabel not to do it?
We've tried, but nothing seems to work. He's very quick about it and rather sly. If Jimmy weren't so fond of him, we'd give him away. He's threatening to do it anyway. Oh, here's Pete now. Hello, dear.
Hello. Oh, Preston, I thought I recognized your team out there.
How are you, Pete?
Sergeant Preston just saved Mabel from drowning.
Oh. Well, I'm afraid I'm not going to thank him for it. That dog is a pest. We've got to get rid of him.
Oh, no, Pete.
If he steals one more thing that belongs to me, I'm going to get rid of him.
He'll get over it when he's a little older.
Well, I can't wait that long. He's stolen mittens, boots, caps, and everything you could think of. I'm reaching the end of my patience.
It was a few weeks later. Red Davis and Lucky Darrell were camped a few miles outside of Selkirk. The appearance of the men had changed. Lucky Darrell had grown a thick beard that covered his face like a mask, while Red had shaved his beard off completely. Red was cooking their supper as he talked to Lucky.
We'll stay here for a few days till we find out what's happening in town. Now, you better go into Selkirk tomorrow.
I'm afraid somebody might recognize me and start asking questions.
Nobody will know you with that beard. You didn't have one before. They'll probably recognize me, though, on account of my red hair.
I think we're taking a big chance doing this.
We're not taking a chance at all. If we can find out when nobody's going to be at Pete's cabin, we can get into that tin box in 2 minutes.
Red, why don't we give him half the claim? After all, he did grubstake us, and legally it's his.
Now, don't start that again. Do you realize if we give him half of it, that means we'll just get a fourth apiece?
But it's a rich claim. There'll be enough for all of us.
It's too rich to give away if we don't have to. Now, nobody witnessed it when we signed that paper. If we can get our hands on it, we'll deny that Pete ever grubstaked us. And he'll have nothing to prove that he did. We're going to get that paper.
But don't forget we have to file a claim.
We'll file it after we get the paper that proves Pete owns half of it. Now, tomorrow morning, you go into town and see what's happening. Maybe they'll be having a party or something that Pete might want to attend.
The following morning, Sergeant Preston stopped his dog team before the Carruthers' cabin. Young Jimmy was out in front playing with his pup.
Hooking! Hello, Hooking!
Hello, Sergeant Preston. Quiet, Mabel. Don't you recognize King?
How are you, Jimmy? Thought I'd stop and see how you are after your dip in the river. And how's Mabel?
Oh, we're both fine. It didn't hurt Mabel a bit.
Good.
Well, look at him. I think he knows King. He's trying to show off in front of me.
Mabel's trying to impress King, all right. Wants to play with him. Oh, you're going to the big show in town tonight?
Sure. Pop and Mom are taking me. I never saw a magician before. They say he takes things out of hats and makes things disappear and everything.
I guess just about everyone in town will be there. Quite a treat for the people to have some entertainment.
Jimmy! Jimmy! Oh, hello, Preston.
Hello, Pete. Something wrong?
What's wrong, Pop?
It's your dog again. I can't find one of my new mucklucks. He must have buried it somewhere.
I think this is the first time I ever saw you mad, Pete.
I am mad, and this is the last straw. I told you, Jimmy, that if he hid one more thing of mine, that you'd have to get rid of that dog.
Oh, Pop, no.
I could brain that fool animal. I just bought that pair of boots a few weeks ago. Look at him, leaping around, showing off in front of King.
King saved his life, and Mabel remembers him. If you'd have hung your boots up on a nail or something.
I'm through running our house to suit Mabel. Hanging everything up beyond reach.
Pete, look. Mabel just dug something out of the snow.
Why, look, Pop, it looks like your boots. Mabel wants to play tug-of-war with King.
Oh, my new muckluck. Now bring that here, you little scalawag. Jimmy, catch him.
Mabel. Come here, Mabel. Give that to me.
Mabel's a lively pup, all right.
Jimmy's got to get rid of that silly dog. I won't have him around anymore.
Well, Jimmy's pretty fond of him. Of course, most dogs do that when they're little. Why don't you give Mabel one more chance?
Here's your little pup. It isn't hurt a bit.
Now, you give that dog a good hard whipping.
But I can't whip him for digging up the boot. It was burying it that was bad, wasn't it, Sergeant?
Jimmy's right, Pete. If Mabel is rewarded for digging up the boot, maybe he'll find some of the other things he's buried.
You're a good dog, Mabel. Good old fella.
You'd better show him the boot and pet him, Pete.
Well, this beats everything. Having to pet him when I want to kick him in the slats. Well, if I get back some of my mittens and things. Come here, Mabel. Good dog. You dug up this boot. I could kick all your teeth in, but you're a very good dog.
He's proud of himself. Look at him wiggle.
Well, guess I'll run along. See you tonight, Pete. Jimmy says you're all going to see the magician.
Yeah. Maybe I can make a deal with that magician to come out here and make Mabel disappear.
Come on, King. Goodbye.
So
bye, Sergeant.
Later that night, Red and Lucky walked quietly toward Pete's cabin. A light snow was falling.
You sure nobody in town recognized you today?
Not a soul. This beard makes me look like everybody else who wears one.
We'll go back to camp tonight after we get that paper. And tomorrow we'll come into town and pretend we just got here and file a claim. Sure, Pete won't be home tonight.
I told you everybody in the place is going to see that magician. There's never any entertainment up here. Nobody would miss it.
Here's Pete's cabin.
There's a dim light burning in it. Nobody's home or it'd be brighter.
There's just enough light for me to find that little tin box.
Think I ought to stay out here and watch?
Yeah. This snow is a good piece of luck. We'll cover our tracks. I'll leave the cabin door open. If you hear anyone coming along the trail, whistle.
All right, but hurry. There's a lot of people use this trail.
Hey, you, quiet. Quiet, I said. Hey, quit jumping on me. Friendly little cuss, aren't you? Down, I say. I don't want to play with you. Now go away. Here's the tin box. This light is so dim. Hey, go away, pup. Go on, go on. Now, here's the one I'm looking for. Now, put the box back, and Pete will never know it's been moved. No. Hey, where's my mitten?
You find it, Pierce?
I thought you were keeping watch.
Nobody's coming. Did you get the paper?
Yeah, I got it here somewhere. Now, Where in the dickens?
What's wrong?
Took the paper out of the box and put it in my mitten on the floor beside me. Now the mitten is gone.
Gone?
Oh, you're crazy. It's so dark in here.
I kicked it accidentally. It must be here somewhere.
I don't see it anyplace. It
couldn't have walked away all by itself.
Where?
Hey, that pup. I bet he took it. Did you see him?
No, but the door was open and he's black. Come on.
He must be out here somewhere. There he is in the snow. Come back here, you black mongrel!
You're scaring him. He's running.
I'll get him.
Man, don't shoot that gun. Somebody'll hear it.
Where's that dog?
It's so dark, I don't see him anymore. You probably scared him so by shooting at him that he's still running.
We'll never find him without a lantern.
I don't see why you had to stick that paper in your mitten.
Yeah, it might have blown away if I'd have put it on the floor. I certainly thought the mitten was safe enough. That ornery little cur, I should have brained him.
Say, Red, maybe we can find the lantern in the house and trail him.
Hey, listen. That sounds like a dog team coming. We gotta get out of here.
Maybe we can come back when it's light.
It's a cinch Pete won't be able to find the paper anyway.
Come on, I'll come back early tomorrow before anyone's up. Maybe I can find it.
About an hour after daybreak the following morning, Red looked up from the campfire at which he was cooking breakfast as Lucky approached.
You back already? Did you find the mitten?
Snowed last night, you know that. There weren't any tracks. I looked all over. I was there at Pete's cabin before anyone was awake.
But it must have been around somewhere. That pup couldn't have eaten it.
The snow covered all his tracks. He probably dragged the mitten off into the woods somewhere.
You didn't leave any fresh tracks around in the snow yourself, did you?
You think I'm crazy, Red? I could see from the trail that all the tracks around the cabin were covered.
Well, I guess we're safe enough. If we can't find that mitten, I'm sure Pete won't be able to. Especially when he doesn't even know the paper's missing out of his tin box. When he does miss it, he won't go looking for it in a strange mitten that his pup dragged off into the woods.
What are you planning to do, Red?
We'll do just what we plan to do. Go in and file this claim under our names. If Pete puts up a squawk, we just don't know what he's talking about. We'll wait until noon today and then go in and get a room at the hotel and pretend we just mushed in from the north.
That night in the Silver Slipper Cafe, everyone was helping to celebrate the new strike made by Red and Lucky. As Pete Carruthers walked in the door, he was met by Jake.
Hello there, Pete. Hey, I've been lucky tonight. I'm going to pay you back for the money you let me have in Francois's place the other day.
Oh, no, Jake, let it go till tomorrow.
Yeah, I better take it now while I got it.
All right.
There you are.
Thanks, Jake.
Say, I suppose you heard about the strike that Red and Lucky made.
Right? No, I didn't even know they were back.
Well, they come back and filed their claim today. They're over at the bar now. There they are.
Wonder why they didn't tell me about it. I'd better see them.
Set them up again, Barney.
Pete. Hello, Pete. Come on, name your poison.
Yeah, Lucky and Red just made a strike. They're going to be rich.
Hello, Pete.
Hello, boys. Why didn't you tell me the good news?
Well, you didn't happen to be around, that's all.
Well, I should think you'd have found me. After all, half your claim is mine.
Half yours? What do you mean?
What's he talking about?
Well, you boys know I grubstaked you. That entitles me to half the claim.
Oh, gosh, Pete. You've grubstaked so many people, I guess you just get everything mixed up.
But you signed the paper. It's at home.
Did you have any witnesses to prove we did this little deal you're dreaming up?
Well, you know, I trusted you. You signed that paper.
Wait, you got a little mixed up, Pete. You get that paper, and maybe we'll remember. Hey, come on, boys. Let's have another drink. Try them up.
The following morning, Sergeant Preston looked gravely at the tin box opened on the table in Pete's cabin.
You'd better tell me everything that happened, Pete. Now, are you sure you had the paper that proved you grubstaked Lucky and Red?
Sure I had it. Right here in this tin box.
Mm. You say you had no witnesses here when you signed the paper?
No, I didn't. It was Red and Lucky were here.
Well, there isn't anything you can do about it legally without that paper. Did Red and Lucky know where you kept it?
Sure they did. They saw me put it away.
Oh, I'm afraid you're too trusting, Pete.
You mean you think they stole it?
It's possible, but there isn't any way we can prove it.
They didn't get into town until yesterday.
Hmm, that's how it looks. Well, come on, let's go outside. They may have left some tracks around. I doubt it, though, after that snow last night.
Here, Mabel.
Jimmy, there's no use looking for that pup anymore.
Has Mabel disappeared?
Yes, thank goodness. He wasn't in the house when we got back from the show the other night. I guess somebody picked him up. Good riddance, I say.
Sergeant Preston,
You haven't seen anything of Mabel, have you?
Why, no, I haven't, Jimmy.
He's been gone since night before last.
Jimmy, stop bothering the sergeant. He's got more important things to look for than that fool animal.
Oh, but King could find him. He knows Mabel's name, don't you, King?
I'll help you look for Mabel later, Jimmy. Right now, we're looking for some strange tracks. You better circle the cabin, Pete.
Could I borrow King while you're looking? Or do you need him?
Why, I don't need King right now. He doesn't know what I'm looking for. Go with Jimmy, King.
Will you tell him to find Mabel, Sergeant?
Find Mabel, boy. Where's Mabel?
Come on, King. Find Mabel. We'll circle the cabin, too.
Well, Pete, I guess there's no use. Nothing to show that anybody's been near your place.
Yes, you're right, Sergeant. That's what I get for trusting too many people.
Maybe you put that paper someplace else. You sure it was in that tin box?
Dad! Sergeant Preston, come here.
What ails that fool kid? What's wrong, Jimmy?
Oh, come on, Pete. Maybe the pup was caught in a trap.
Consign it. I was hoping he'd never find that fool dog.
Hurry. King must have heard Mabel or smelled him or something. Mabel is down in a big hole. Too deep for me. I can't get him.
Mabel's still alive?
Yes, but he's pretty weak. He can't seem to make much noise.
How could he fall down a hole?
Here he is.
Well, poor little fella. Here, Jimmy, take my hand. I'll lower you down in the hole and pull you and Mabel up. Easy now.
Don't worry, Mabel. I'm coming.
Just like that, fool dog, not to look where he's going.
Poor Mabel. Come on, boy. Say, Dad, here's one of your mittens. Down here beside Mabel.
I suppose. He was running away with it, I'll bet.
Hand it up here, Jimmy. There you are, Pete. Well, maybe you'll be glad we found Mabel. You'll have another pair of mittens. All right, Jim, take my hand. I'll pull you up. There you are.
Wouldn't you know it? That dog has stolen at least a half dozen of my mittens. And the one I find with him isn't even mine.
Mabel isn't hurt or anything.
He'll be all right, Jim.
Oh, well. This mitten fits me. Hey, what's this?
It's a paper.
It was inside the mitten. Well, for the love...
Well, what is it, Pete?
It's the grubstake paper.
What?
Well, how...
Did Mabel do something awful bad, Dad?
Not this time, Jim. We don't know yet how Mabel did it, but it looks as though he helped your dad find a fortune.
But that dog couldn't get in the tin box?
No, but he was probably standing beside the man who did.
Well, can you beat that? Jimmy, you better take Mabel right home and feed him and take care of him. I'll wrap him in a blanket and give him part of that venison in the storehouse and some hot canned milk.
What? Oh, sure, Dad. Gee, thanks, Sergeant, for lending me King. I never could have found Mabel without him.
That's all right, Jimmy. Give me that mitten, Pete. King and I are going to town to find the owner of it. Come on, King.
The desk clerk at the Northern Hotel smiled as Sergeant Preston and his big dog, King, approached him in the lobby.
Hello, Sergeant. How are you?
Fine, Bill. I'd like some information.
Anything you want, Sergeant.
Are Red Davis and Lucky Darrell registered here?
Yes, they're here. They're in room 22.
Uh-huh.
Ain't in now, though. Saw me about an hour ago. They're celebrating the big strike they made.
Would you mind letting me have a look at their room?
Well, I've got the key right here. Sure. Now, come on, I'll take you back there.
Thanks, Bill.
Anything wrong, Sergeant?
I don't know yet, but I think we'll soon find out.
Well, it's a little irregular letting anyone in their room like this, but Mounties are different.
It won't take long. I'm trying to find the mate to this mitten.
Yep, here's the room.
Come in with me, Bill. If I find that mitten, I'd like you to be a witness.
Sure, I'd be glad to.
Go on, King.
Well, you don't have to look far. Isn't this it, here on the bed?
It looks like the mate, all right.
Of course, there are hundreds of mittens like this up here. It's a regular kind you get at the trading post. Francois has hundreds of them.
I have another way of checking whether the mitten I have belongs to the same man that one does. You keep that mitten, Bill. King and I are going to wait in the lobby till Lucky and Red get back.
There they are now, Sergeant. Go back to the room.
I don't want them to think I'm interested. Keep talking to me till they cross the lobby and start it down the hall.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to give King the scent of this mitten that they found near Pete's cabin and tell him to search. As the mitten belongs to Lucky or Red, King will pick up the scent right here in the lobby. It's good and fresh and he can't miss it. If he follows him, it'll be a double check.
They've gone down the hall.
Here, King. The smitten. Find him, fella. Come on, King. I'll lead you past the door.
Does he know what you want him to do?
Yes, he knows. This took a lot of training. Search, boy. Find him.
He's picked up the scent. He's following Red and Lucky.
Come on, this is all I needed. Paula, you got that mitten we found in their room?
Yep, I've got it. Hey, King is standing right at their door.
Who is it?
It's Sergeant Preston, Red. Open this door.
Hello, Sergeant. Hi, Bill. What's wrong?
Good work, King.
What's the matter? What's wrong with that dog?
He's trying to find the owner of this mitten. He seems to think it's yours, Red.
Why, no, that's not mine. I never saw it before.
King knows it's yours. And I searched your room before you came in and found its mate. Show it to him, Bill.
Here it is.
Red, keep still, Lucky. And this is a frame-up. You can't prove you found that in my room.
Oh, yes, I can. Bill came in with me, and he can witness it.
Yep. We found it about an hour ago.
You're both under arrest for breaking into Pete's cabin and attempted fraud.
But how did you find that mitten? Well,
a mongrel pup named Mabel found it. But you'll find out about that later. I'm taking you two to jail. When you're safely locked up, King and I are going to take Mabel a bone for saving us a lot of hard work. Yes, thanks to King and Mabel, this case is closed.
Thank you for listening. Tomorrow, it's Nick Carter, Master Detective, followed by Burns and Allen. Thanks to Joel Schoenwell and Paul Stringer for technical support. The executive producer for Theater of the Mind is Moses Neimer. I'm Frank Proctor. Have a great night.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.